It's Trinity Sunday. Today we read from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in chapter 28 with verse 16. So Matthew 28, beginning with verse 16. It's the Great Commission. Should sound familiar to hopefully most everybody who has been in church at some point in time in their lives. And if not, if this is the first time you're hearing it, well then listen to the words of Jesus to his disciples. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" That's our reading from Matthew 28, 16 through 20, the Great Commission. The Great Commission is used, hopefully by all churches, but by most churches as a source of helping us to figure out what it is we're supposed to be doing. What is a church here to do? Why do churches exist? What's the motivation? Why are we here? And there's all sorts of different answers to that. And on Trinity Sunday, when we talk about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all in relationship with one another and their general economy and how they interact with one another and then how we interact, it can get really confusing. And a lot of people love to make it confusing. They love to muddy the waters or at least cloud the waters with all sorts of great explanations to the Great Commission, great explanations as to how the Trinity works together and how they work with us. But I want to just, I don't like all that messy stuff. It confuses me, although sometimes it's kind of fun to wade around in it. But when it really comes down to it for me, is when Jesus is telling his disciples what he wants them to do. He's commanding them. He's saying, this is what you're to be about. You're to be about going out to all of the people, all of the nations. Remember in the Ascension, we talked about how he said his disciples would be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth, to all the people. And in Pentecost, it was the Holy Spirit gave them the words to speak to all of the people in all of their different languages. And here Jesus is doing the same thing. So church, as you're on your way, as you're going out to all of the people, as you're going out to take this gospel message to everybody, to all of the ears that need to hear it, from right here as Jesus was in Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth, to all of the different places, wherever it may be reaching your ears, Jesus is telling them, this is what you're to be about. You're about sharing the gospel, that good news of salvation in Christ. And I know that even in itself can kind of be a little bit confusing. The good news that Jesus gave his life for yours, that Jesus died on the cross for you, that Jesus died and rose again for you, so that all of the wrath and the punishment and the judgment has already taken place with Christ on the cross. That's already done. That's the good news. The good news is that you've been set free to live this newness of life, to live life, as we say sometimes, to the fullest, to live life abundantly, however God has given you to live that life. But with the disciples, Jesus gives them a little bit more instruction, a little bit more guidance, a little bit more forceful command. This is what you're supposed to do. So let's look at that again. He says to his disciples, first of all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus says, I am the sole rule and norm of authority on earth and in heaven. And that's hard for us sometimes because we like to be our own rule and norm. We like to be our own authority. We like even our consciences or whatever to sort of be our guides, let our hearts lead, those kinds of things. And while on the surface they sound great, we sometimes then forget who the real authority is over heaven and earth. And it's hard too, because we don't always see it, especially now, with the struggles of authority, the combat and the violence and the bloodshed with authorities. It makes this even harder. So when we hear these words of Jesus, it can actually bring comfort to know that in heaven and earth, Jesus is the authority. Jesus is the one whose words reign over everybody else's. And while that doesn't necessarily help us in the day-to-day and the combat that we are sometimes involved in, to know that Jesus is the one who has the last word, that to me can be comforting. Jesus is the one who gets the last word, not any of the laws, not any of the violence, not any of the things that happen. Jesus is the one with the last word. And so he gives his disciples this comfort, this assurance that no matter what they're going to face, because they're going to face violence too, they're going to face violence in terms of persecution. Eventually, over time, as the persecutions increase, more and more Christians face violence for their faith. And so to hear Jesus say, "I'm the authority, no matter what happens to you, I'm the authority. You may lose your life. Your life may become miserable, but I'm the authority. I get the last word. These others don't. The lions that are going to eat you up don't get the last word." So that's good to know. And he says to the disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." This is all sort of one lump sum of things that disciples are to be about, that the church is to be about. This is all, it's not a first do this, then do that. We sometimes like to do that. That's not the way this works. Jesus is sort of saying, here's the whole ball of wax. Here's everything. Go. Take it and go. And the disciples are to take these marching orders, this commission to go and do these things. And it's making disciples, baptizing and teaching, all of that sort of mixed together. And sometimes we baptize first and then we teach, and sometimes we teach first and then we baptize. Sometimes it's all a kind of mixed together and happens intermediary kind of stuff, and it can get really convoluted and we can get really hung up on procedure. But what Jesus is saying is, "I'm giving you all of this stuff. Go and teach and baptize and make people into followers of me. Make people into those who follow Jesus." So what is the church to be about? It's about making disciples. It's about, it's so hard to say, it's about making people who believe in Jesus, who follow Jesus, followers of Jesus. That's what we're to be about. We're not about making high and mighty rules and authorities and laws in the church. We're about making disciples. We're about making people who follow Jesus. And he says, and you teach them. What is it we teach them? How do we make followers of Jesus? What are they supposed to know in order to follow Jesus? And he says, everything that I've commanded you. All that I've commanded you, all of the red letters in Scripture, all of those things that I've said, and all of the things in the Old Testament and New Testament that point to me, all of those things are sort of encapsulated in Jesus. All of that stuff that we hear and the commandments and all of those things, all of that stuff is what Jesus taught. And that's what we're to teach. And that's a lot. That's a lot. All that I commanded you. And he says, I'm with you always to the end of the age. That goes back to his first statement about the authority, that he has the last word. And not only does he have the last word, he's with you in the last words. He's with you to the very end of everything, that Jesus is with us. So while we're teaching, while we're figuring out what to teach, while we're figuring out how to teach, while we're doing all of that stuff, while we're being followers of Jesus, he's with us. He's walking with us. He's in step with us. He's holding us up when we feel like falling down. He's laying down with us when we're on the ground. That's Jesus. So my things that I sort of hold on to when it comes to Jesus, what is it that he taught? I go back to the two statements that he made where he encapsulated the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Put them all together. Love the Lord with everything you are. Love God with everything, every fiber of your being. Love God with everything. And it's not always easy to do. Sometimes we love God a little bit, maybe with our heads, with our hearts. We love God a little bit here and there. Thankfully, it's not up to me to determine the amount of love that's coming out. It's sort of just there. It's the Holy Spirit that helps that love to do what it's supposed to do. Because I fail miserably at loving God. I can be mad at him sometimes. I mean, I love him. The same way we can say, I love, you know, my brother. I love these people in my life. I love my sister. I love my aunt, my uncle, all of those things. Sometimes I don't necessarily like them. I love my friends. Sometimes I don't necessarily like them. I love everybody, but I don't always want to hang out with everybody. You know, these kinds of things we say to ourselves. We do the same thing with God. And Jesus says, I'm with you. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He says, I'll have the last word. Just keep loving. And then Jesus says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now here's where everything kind of falls apart for us as people, right? Here's where we look around in our world, especially in recent days, and say, yeah, we don't do that very well at all. In fact, nobody does. We don't love our neighbors as ourselves. We don't love our neighbors as we should. We don't love our neighbors as we could. We don't love our neighbors. And we get what we get. We get violence. We get hatred. We get racism. We get all of these things that come from not loving our neighbor. And we fail miserably. The church, as well as everybody else. We all fail miserably at loving our neighbor. But here again, Jesus has the last word with that. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He has the last word. So even when our love for neighbor fails, which it often does, Jesus has the last word. When we fail to love each other in ways that build one another up, Jesus has the last word. When we fail to open our doors, open our hearts, when we fail to open our eyes to what's going on, Jesus has the last word. Jesus gets the last word. He gets the first word, and he gets the last word. Now, I'm not saying that we don't try because, well, Jesus gets the last word, so I guess I don't have to worry about it. No, we don't get off that easy. Because living this commission, living these instructions are hard. It's difficult. It's impossible for us to do it on our own. That's why Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to be with us. But that doesn't mean we don't try. That doesn't mean we don't keep our eyes open. That doesn't mean we don't do the things that we know we're supposed to do. It doesn't mean we don't teach our children to love our neighbors. And it's hard for us But it's what we have to do. It's what we get to do. We get to love our neighbors. God gives us neighbors to love them, not to hate them, not to abuse them, not to hurt them, not to exploit them. That's not why he gives us neighbors. He doesn't give us neighbors to judge them. He gives us neighbors to love them. And that's going to look different wherever you are, in whatever situation you find yourself, whoever your neighbors are that are around you. Jesus has given you those neighbors so that you love them. You get the opportunity to show love for them. So in this time of extraordinarily turmoil, not new turmoil, which is even harder because this is stuff that's been going on for forever. This is new, but it's new for some. It's the first time some have seen it. It's the first time some have experienced it. So maybe this is a first time for a lot of people to see what love of neighbor can look like, to see what love of neighbor can do, to see what Jesus as the last word, Jesus as the ever-present, Jesus as the one in us loving our neighbor, what that can look like. So let's take this commission. Let's take it to heart and let's love our neighbors. Let's teach them everything that Jesus has commanded. Let's remind ourselves first what Jesus has commanded and share that and teach it not just through books and lectures. Let's teach it through serving. Let's teach it through loving. Let's be followers of Jesus. And let's love our neighbor. Amen.